It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Hey, welcome. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And I think summer's upon us. We passed the solstice, so here we are, and I hope you're getting ready to do some grilling in your backyard today, because tis the season. I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. Conrad, we are happy to be here and try and bring you a little entertainment, information, maybe some tips and techniques, some ideas for your back deck, for your next family get-together, or the next time you want to impress Mama.
Yeah, or if your brother-in-law comes over. Right, because he's always going to be hungry and want some of your cold beer and doesn't bring either.
Is he still coming to your house?
No, this was my past, but I know the guy's got him. Right? No, my brother-in-law is great, but he's in Alabama, so he doesn't stop by.
And he's not listening, so you can say whatever you want.
Right, yeah.
Hey, today we're going to talk about Independence Day ideas, and it's a wonderful celebration, but it's also a perfect time to grill.
Yeah, it should be. You know, with the 4th of July actually being on Tuesday, I think the whole world will have Monday off too, maybe. I don't know. Not everybody. I think I'm going to have it off. So, you know, that's a four-day weekend now. And, man, you can do some pretty fun grilling if you trying to take on something a little more complicated, because you got time to tend to it, but rather than just burgers and dogs. So we might talk a little bit about that. Before we get started with that, Bob, I got to tell you something that happened last Saturday night. It was the damnedest thing. We're having, I got that little pizza oven. I got like 8 or 10 people sitting around, and we're making pizzas, trying to perfect my skills on that thing. And it's like 8 o'clock at night. We're done. We're wrapped up. We closed the pool, pulled the solar cover over the top. Mm-hmm. We're all just sitting around. In comes this Drake Mallard and lands on top of my solar cover on my pool.
And got frustrated.
No, he got the crap scared out of him, literally and figuratively, because my lab saw it happen. Two big bounds, wham, right in the middle of that pool cover.
Did you get it?
Nope. He flew away, but he left a little deposit.
I bet.
And but the problem is that pool cover wrapped right around the dog.
Sure.
And I mean, she's a lab and she's strong, but
she's old.
Well, no, she's only three. But no, she was pawn to get out of it.
Didn't cut it up, did she?
Nope, she didn't. Thank goodness. But because it's brand new. But I had to get in there and get her, because she was just doing all her pawn, and that thing was just swallowing her up. It was crazy to watch that all happen
at the deep end too.
Yeah, yep, that's exactly
great.
Right. Yeah. So I grabbed her and pulled her out and got her out. No harm done with the dog or the cover, but. It was crazy.
You didn't like strip down before you did it.
No. I went in. I just went in because it was all happening really fast. But just weird that a duck would land on my pool with all those people around.
Well, I mean, where you're at.
Yeah.
In the city.
Yeah. Even
there's not a lot of water.
Right. Yeah.
In your neighborhood, there's probably one of the few pools. So.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, oh, blue.
Yeah. But it was crazy. But anyway, so no harm done. But that was a little excitement I had last weekend. And it was a lot of
that's
not
rich.
To do about nothing.
That's
but,
rich.
Yeah.
I had 200 wild folks to feed last Saturday, and they ate 80 pounds a hog.
Wow.
80 pounds a hog.
That's like a third to almost a half a pound
person,
right?
There might have been more than 200. We booked it for 200, but you know how that goes.
All shoulders?
Yeah.
So
this used to be a hog roast.
Yeah.
And I talked the guy into letting me do some butts for him once finally. But, you know, it was such a tradition. It's called the hog roast.
Okay.
That he was afraid that, you know, it would be too fake. And the people went nuts over the meat.
Oh, goes, yeah. It's so
oh,
much
yeah,
better.
Oh, yeah. We're doing this next time.
Yeah. It's so much better than doing the whole hog. It's ready to go. You pull it quick. It's consistently cooked. There aren't overdone and underdone parts.
There's lots of bark.
Right.
You get no bark on a hog.
Right. And you get to have to pick through all the bones and all the other stuff. And this is just that's
it's a tradition, but it's a mess.
Yeah. And I'm sure there's many of our listeners that say, oh, that's bull, you know, or that's pig. Hogwash. There's the term I'm looking for. But at the end of the day,
you'll need some when you're done cleaning up that mess.
Right, yeah. Yeah, at the end of the day, the meat's better and the process is easier. Now, if you wanted to have the effect of, boy, pulling that big old hog off the grill and or off the smoker and have everybody see it, right, just get a little suckling pig and use it for decoration.
That's right.
They sell those. And that's just right. Cook that thing up and leave it on the table with the apple in its mouth and eat the good pork that should come from the pork butts that are cooked consistently,
yes,
flavorful, bark-filled.
Seasoned
properly. Yeah, all
it's,
of that.
It's hard to season a whole hog. I mean, you got to pour the gullet full of salt. You
yep.
should score the skin and cover that thoroughly with salt.
Yep.
And you're still not getting, you're not penetrating. You're yep. not getting smoke penetration either. The skin gets it all.
Yep.
Gardening. I have a neighbor who's, like I told you, he's a horticulturalist, and he's got this garden that makes me not want to ever let him see mine. But
yeah,
he
right.
still comes
yeah,
over and
it.
Helps me.
Yeah.
But he doesn't work at all. He's retired, and he just gardens.
So he works in
all
the garden.
All the time.
Yeah.
And he's helped me, but I'll tell you what, this rain or lack of has not. So
right.
I'm watering like crazy, and I bet you a lot of our listeners are struggling and tending with trying to get all those
yeah.
gardens. Because there's this big push for gardening this year because, you know, people are watching supply chain disruptions and
right.
all sorts of problems with shipping and all this
well
stuff.
In the South, which provides a lot of our fruit and vegetables this time of year until ours grow, are suffering from the drought as well and huge heat, and it's impacting all of that stuff. And you can irrigate, right, but it's just some of those fields just don't get it, and some of the produce that we're getting is limited as
yeah.
a result.
Yeah. Yeah, asparagus. I ran all over a couple days ago trying to find asparagus, couldn't.
Yep.
I ended up way west of Jenison
yeah.
on
out in the muck,
Port Sheldon
muck
Road and
territory.
All those stands. Nope. Just sold out.
It's yeah.
Like
right.
Day late.
Yeah.
And I've noticed online weird, huge military movements around the country. It's not much in the news, but there's people posting videos all over of giant trains of, I mean, you'd think that the war was going to be here on our continent instead of whatever they're trying to cook up overseas. But there's helicopters and bombers and stuff landing all over the place, continental U.S. Never seen movement like that. So I don't know what the heck's going on, but I just wanted to bring it up because it's not in the news.
Right.
And that's also weird.
Yeah. Well, I think it's maybe there's some control there. Who knows?
Anyway, it's disturbing to see our military on our soil doing things that, you know.
Well, you know, the military always knows things before we do.
Yeah.
I mean, rightfully so.
Hopefully.
And then, you know, preparedness is part of what we do. And it's one of those things is you know, how much fault would everybody find if we got surprised by something?
Yeah, it's happened
right?
before.
I mean, so they're going to be prepared, and if it takes moving equipment around to do that, more power to them, baby.
Yeah,
get it where it needs to be,
because
that's what they're supposed to do. You know,
yeah.
they aren't there to make friends.
And you got to be careful who you follow, what you believe, what you see, because there's also lots of
yep.
posers out there.
Yep.
But.
So it's for the upcoming weekend. I had a little catering gig on Friday, only like 35 people for a wedding reception.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a brisket, and I put it on my big green egg, and I got the temperature at about 240 when I'm smoking it. But in the first hour and a half, it got all the way up to 125 degrees and a 240 right out of the fridge. I mean, seasoned, trimmed, and seasoned it and put it on. I think this warm weather impacts my equipment, and it works more efficiently because the ambient air is as warm as it is right now. And that was my tip is, don't rely on your regular cooking times
right.
because stuff is cooking faster.
Especially
in this
when
heat.
You're smoking, and we all like to smoke in the cold weather.
Right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, coming up next, let's talk about the perfect burger. If this is warming up for the 4th of July, I'm betting there's going to be a bunch of those on the grill. And we got some tips and maybe some techniques for you. And maybe you set up that burger bar as well. So you listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM all over this great state of Michigan. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Jethro FM, country with a twist, and a little bit of twist of barbecue for you on this weekend morning. Hope you're got plans this weekend, and we're going to tee up for the next weekend as well because it's the long weekend with the 4th of July. Always seems to me that like summer's half over when we get to the 4th of July, and it just started this week. So
yeah, well,
I don't get
it. Weird.
Yeah.
I don't either. I don't either. But you brought something up. I put on the show plan Old Faithful Dog. I'll bring it up anyway. Since you told your dog story, my daughter is living with us right now while they're in the process of moving from Tennessee to New York. And they have a, I call it a dingo, but it's a spotted, you know, blue heeler Australian sheepdog. And this thing will not leave me alone. He follows me everywhere.
It's that smell of barbecue is
well,
what it
I
is.
Well, I do feed him a little bit.
Yeah.
And shower.
Better than the neighbor's cat.
And shower very little.
Right, yeah.
No,
right.
It's just so funny to watch somebody else's dog come in and then just attach itself to you. But I think that's that breed also.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Blue Heeler,
yeah.
I think, is one of them. Anyway, yeah. It's just, it's cute. Dogs are funny like that. And my daughter Olivia's lives with us from time to time. Her dog's there more than she is. But that dog is also very attached to me. So the two of them are fighting over Papa Bob.
Right. They're jealous. Yeah. Don't pet one of them without the other. Yeah.
Yeah. That's something to watch. That's something to watch.
Right.
Anyway, burgers. I think there's lots of mistakes made on burgers. What do you think?
Well, they're overcooked often. They're over massaged before they're cooked often. They, I think, are sometimes topped too quickly. I know that my son is back living with us, and every time he cooks a burger, he likes burgers. He eats them 3-4 times a week. My grill is an absolute mess.
Why? Because he's putting cheese all over everything?
Yeah.
That is a mess.
Yeah.
Messes up your, if you're using your Big Green Egg, is that what he's using?
No, the Tech.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's, you know, it drips down between the grates. And he just shuts the thing off and closes the lid, doesn't scrape it, doesn't.
He should leave it on for 5 minutes and keep the lid closed.
We're training. Yeah. We're training all of that stuff. But yeah, so
well,
all of those.
Well, it's not his grill, so right. There's a little less urgency.
Yeah. Yeah.
Randy will take care of it.
Right. Yeah. Every time I open it up, it's like, you know, whatever. I take it 2-3 minutes, clean it up, and it'll be fine. But you know.
That is a good tip for any burger griller because they do tend to leave crumbs on your grill.
Yeah.
Depending on the type of grill you have, it may or may not be a problem. But I noticed I love watching other people cook and trying to pick up tips, no matter how old this dog is, since we're on the dog theme. There's places that do the smash burgers and stuff. They just take a chunk of meat that's hardly even touched. It'll be ground beef fresh out of the grinder or,
right.
Or something like that. And they'll take their big press and they'll just smash it down on the griddle.
Right.
And there's very little manipulation there.
Right.
And it's like we've talked about a million times about overworking ground beef, sausage, meatloaf, meatballs, any of that stuff. The more you play with it, it's like bread. If you knead your bread too much, it's going to be tough, and burgers the same way. So I think you'll just want to be careful in the forming of those patties somehow. And I like I have the little wax pads, the little wax paper pads, and I'll use the heck out of those, and I'll grab a clump, and I'll do that very same thing using my hand. I'll smash it down. But here's the one thing I wanted some folks to think about that might not do this, is to take your thumb and make a nice little recess in the center of it so that it almost looks like a pond in a subdivision. Yep. You know, so you got all the houses around the pond. That's how that burger should look before you put it on the grill, because for some strange reason, as it shrinks and moves up, it levels back up, but that helps with the even cooking process. And I don't thoroughly understand it. I just do it, and it works.
Two things, and also then it doesn't become round like an egg. Okay, it stays flat, and it goes on your bun better if you make that depression in the center, because it swells as it cooks, and the center always puffs up, and it gets, you know, almost like an egg shape. And I don't like my burgers like that.
And if you're using fatty enough burgers, these guys that do the smash burgers and that mash them down with a big spatula or whatever, they actually have tools that actually do that. If you're using a fatty enough burger and you're on a griddle, you can do that. And you get a lot of the fat out of it that way, but you also get a consistent cooking temperature.
Well, and you get that crispiness with a griddle that you can't get with a grill.
Right.
I mean, and the edges get crispy because the fat is coming out of it, and as it flows away, it hits the edges and it crisps up a little bit.
Yeah, so if you're a charcoal lover, there's lots of ways to do that. You can actually get some cool griddles for your grill.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a nice way to do it.
What I had before I got the griddle.
It's the best, actually, because then you can close the lid, get that savory flavor from the smoke, and still have that controllability and lack of food falling through on a griddle.
Yeah, speaking of food falling through, I think that's another big error that people make, is they move the burger too quick before to flip it for the first time. I work real hard to only flip a burger once. I want to cook it on one side, and you can test this with your spatula.
Yep.
If you start to move your spatula under the burger and it's still sticking, leave it there.
Yeah,
because it will release ready to be flipped.
It's not overdone.
Right. And it will release. And when it releases, just flip it over and cook the other side and be done with it.
Yep. And when you put your burgers on the grill, you can kind of set them up for that next move, like a chessboard. You know, so if you set them all towards the front and you take that back one and just tip it over to the back one, and you tip them all over to the back one, you're really moving them little, like you're implying. You'll also notice that they'll start to sweat on top. If the blood is pooling on top, you've left it on too long.
Right.
But when they start to sweat on top, that's probably a good time to test your release.
Right.
And see if it's going to come off. I know this sounds silly because it's a burger. I think Conrad looks really hungry right now talking about all these burgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But again, it's just a burger, but if they're cooked properly, I was going to say well, but I haven't never had them well done.
Right.
But if they're cooked properly, they're juicy and they're flavorful and they're ready easier than if you're messing with them all the time, flipping them around and moving around your grill. I just think that it's a better product.
But you touched on something. You said well, if you're using like these tubes of hamburger that you can't see, it's in a colored wrapper coming out of the hamburger factory. Those you might want to get a little more towards well.
Yeah.
And
or you might want to get away from them in the store and buy some real burger.
If you're going to somebody like Sobey and buying this beautiful, you know, carefully ground, and I mean, everything's meticulous.
Trimmed there.
I just gave somebody one of his meat sticks the other day, and you'd have thought that I showed him the Fountain of Youth.
Right.
Because he looked at me like I was a magician or like, you know, how did you ever find it? It's in a store. It's called Sobey's. You just go up and get it.
Right. Yeah. Same thing with his jerky. Easy. Yeah. And he's got that hillbilly jerky,
that's
man.
That's as good as mine.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. Tim, if you're listening, there's your compliment for the day. Goodness.
It's gracious. An old joke. But that's kind of like turning somebody on to good olive oil from the old world.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing. They're like, if they've never had anything like that,
Yep.
And you introduced me to those folks 14 years ago.
Right.
And I thought you were nuts because it's like, it's oil. Come on.
Right. Well, I'll talk in the next segment. I'll talk a little bit about that because I just had a little sojourn down there yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And picked up some cool stuff. You listen to Grilling Guys, Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit garrettsappliances.com. That's garrettsappliances.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday. Now hit me!
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hope you're doing well out there this morning, getting ready to throw something on your grill.
Yeah, we were talking about oils, and we're talking about hamburgers. Do you ever oil your burger before you put it on? Depends on how lean it is.
Yeah. As well as it depends on the piece of equipment and how clean it is.
And we were talking about olives. And one of the cheeses I wanted to talk about putting on a hamburger was Swiss.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the best olive burgers I've ever had has Swiss on it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And that was one Chef Jeff used to make at Bud's.
Yeah.
And those were, I mean, you'd have to stop for one. I still make olive burgers myself.
It's my favorite. Oh. I mean, with a little mayo, Swiss, and the olives. And then if you like tomatoes, a little slice of tomato on there. Oh. Makes my mouth water just thinking about it. During the break, Bob, we were talking about Old World Olive Company. They got four stores around the state, Rockford, a couple downtown, over in Rochester.
I think they have a new one over in Sparta.
Yep. So they got five now. That's right. So, but anyway, my I went there, and every time I go, I ask the person running the store, you got anything new? Mm-hmm. Because we've been doing business with them for, like you said, about 14 years. They have a seasonal balsamic, which is called cucumber watermelon, and it sounds goofy.
No, that's
but
wonderful.
It is amazing. And I was all ready for the watermelon to be forward, and it isn't. It's cucumber with a little sweetness
subtlety
on the back. Oh man, I grabbed a bottle of it, and I've yet to put it on a salad because it was just there yesterday. But I can't wait.
Cucumbers have come of age.
Right.
Cucumbers are like on everything now.
Yep.
I see guys making, and I've had them make these for me, a gin martini, and they put slices of cucumber in it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And it's good.
Really good.
Weird.
My wife does cucumber water every day.
A lot of people do.
Slice it up and just throw it right in a glass of water. Yeah. It's just a wonderful, it's a delicate flavor. It's not super strong.
No, not at all.
But boy, is it nice. But this watermelon cucumber balsamic, I'm going to put it on a salad this weekend and see how we can do with it.
I did not put any cucumber plants in this year, and I love picking fresh cucumbers, but I have not had much major success growing what I can buy them too nicely. I go out to Heidi's Market on the freeway, and they always have the small fresh ones, which
right
out of the ground. I'll wash the dirt off. I don't care.
Right. No, that's what you want to do. Right.
I don't want the ones in the supermarket with the wax on them that flew in from Chile or wherever they
and been picked for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yep. The old adage my dad said, if you stub your toe between the patch and the pot, it took too long to get your garden product out. He'd pick it every day, and we'd eat it that day.
Yeah.
No, let it stay on the vine.
That's
not
great
to rot,
saying.
But
you've said it before, and I love it. There's another thing that I always push, and that's whenever something's in season, stuff yourself on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like right now, strawberries are out,
right,
and I miss the asparagus. It's up to like $6 a pound in the supermarket.
Right. Yeah, well, the strawberries I bought, I talked to you. I was up at work up near Ludington this week, and on the way back, I was by Hart, and there's a farm market there, so I wheeled in. And I bought strawberries, a flat of them, that's 8 quarts, were $40. So, you know, they're $5 a quart, but oh,
six
man.
In a lot of places.
Right, but yeah, I think they were like $5.99. Unless, yeah. Well, they're $5.99 unless you bought the flat, right? And then but anyway, my point is that unbelievably
sweet.
How many
did you eat on the way home?
Oh, yeah, right. I was, yeah. What's that on your shirt, Randy, yeah. when I walk in, right?
Steering wheel's all sticky. Yeah. I did the same thing the other night when I was looking for the asparagus.
Yeah.
I went Port Sheldon Road almost all the way to Lake Michigan looking for asparagus. I found none. But I found some beautiful strawberries.
Yep.
And they also had homemade shortcake with it. So I brought home a treat for everybody.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
Mm.
Yeah. Can't beat that. When you find one of those, take advantage of it.
So cheeses we covered Swiss. And I think cheddar and American are big ones. But I'm also a big fan of blue cheese on a burger. Mm-hmm. A blackened blue burger
yep.
with bacon.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's yep. that's just a wonderful setup.
So you're helping me with a gig, and this is yep. relevant. You're helping me with a gig on Monday, and we're going to do brisket sliders, okay, as one of our entrees.
Uh-huh.
I want to put some cheese, just a little piece of cheese on top of that brisket to dress it up, and then I thought maybe like some sour cream and horseradish mixed together. Mm-hmm. What kind of cheese do you think we should put on that? Because the brisket is forward.
You're already You're putting sour cream on it, and that's a pre-staged cheese.
Oh, yeah.
So I think you might be not in the kosher realm by doing that.
Okay. So you're saying no cheese?
No, I'm saying I told you before, you asked me what I would do, and I said I would do, I do a combination of sour cream and cream cheese, and I blend it. And then I put horseradish in it.
Oh, you add the cream cheese to the horseradish.
Because it thickens it up.
Okay.
And it gives it another profile, another flavor. But because you don't want it, if it's just sour cream, as soon as it hits that warm brisket, it melts and it's dripping all over the place.
That's
and
true.
We're putting on a rather sophisticated soiree, and you don't want your nice guests and business owners to be walking around with sauce on their shirts.
Yeah.
Or maybe right. you do.
Well, no. I don't. You're right. So see that I'm glad I asked. So we'll plan on doing that then. Is mix it, but that's something I've never done.
And I'm happy to make it for you.
Yeah. Okay.
Sobey has a great brand of. Got to plug them again.
Horseradish.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
That Polish stuff.
Yeah. The label's on upside down.
It is because you store horseradish upside down in your refrigerator.
Right.
So if you're not looking at that label right, you didn't put the jar in right.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Tighten the lid though, because she'll leak.
Yes. Yes. Another thing that's kind of cool is cheese sauces. I've seen online and had at restaurants varying degrees. I used to make one that you either liked blue cheese or you didn't, but I would make a cheddar sauce with blue cheese in it. Now, I love the taste of blue cheese. It's not for everybody. And I would do that with my mac and cheese, and I absolutely loved it. But there were some people that, workers I had that would say, yeah, don't put the blue cheese in because they didn't like it.
Right.
And they're right. My seagulls.
My wife's not real fond of blue cheese. It's a strong flavor, but if you mix it in.
But she lives with you.
I understand.
You're a
well,
strong flavor.
I am. Maybe that's why she doesn't like it, because she gets enough
it's
of it.
Just too much.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But the pimento cheese, that is a dip. A lot of times.
Emily makes that.
Right.
Yep.
But that is interesting on a burger.
Southern
too, because it's a little, if you don't make it with too much mayo, it's firm enough because it's cheddar cheese, mayo, and pimentos and some seasonings.
Depending on who makes it,
yeah.
It's either a real thick or it's too runny in my opinion.
Right.
The stuff my daughter, Emily, makes has pepperoni in it.
Yeah.
And maybe it all does. I don't know.
No, I'm sure that's a variation.
But it's got some good heat and we love it. I mean, she's going to have to get busy and make some if she's going to be freeloading off us for a while.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's part of her rent. Yeah.
That's
good stuff.
And then, of course, the other daughter is the nacho queen. Actually, she's the one that gave us the world's best guacamole dip.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
But you don't discredit yourself. I've eaten many plates of your midnight nachos. They learned it from you, buddy. They learned it from you. Those things are amazing. And, you know,
it's funny sometimes because I get up so early. I'll go to bed early, and I'll like Saturday night after that soiree. Sunday morning, I get up and there's like nacho pans all over the place.
Yeah, right.
My sons took over and
right.
filled
well,
the,
yeah, that's
filled
something
the gap.
That's something you taught your family, right?
Yeah.
You got to do it because they just so hit the spot. They just
I think
so hit the spot.
On the next segment, these are some things that you're really big on, but I think we need to talk about some cool toppers for a burger.
Okay.
And you always like the presentation.
Yeah. Yep. Because it's, you know, you eat with your eyes first, your nose second, and your taste third. That's how it works. And if it doesn't look good and it doesn't smell good, it might never get to the third place. So I think that presentation is a big part of what we do. And with just a little bit of planning, you can pull it off really easy.
Well, yeah. I think no matter what it looks like, if you're serving it, they're going to pick it up and it's
well,
going to be gone.
Yeah, I don't know about that, though. I've been to restaurants where something hit my plate and I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Not going to eat that.
And, I'm just thinking about all the seagulls. That,
oh, yeah, yeah,
they
yeah.
They don't
yeah.
even chew.
Yeah. 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 When it's free and within reach, it's, right. it's you've got half of it taken care of. So that works out. But anyway, you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to talk about toppers for your burger. Stick with us. We'll be back.
We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman serving sportsmen. It's more than a sport. It's a way of life. Your satisfaction's been our aim. Since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it. We love it. Allen Bob Sports. Sportsman.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, Jethro FM, and our variety of affiliates around this great state of Michigan and wherever you're listening. Maybe on a podcast, right, Bob?
Yeah, it should be. Go to thegrillingguys.com, thegrillingguys.com. Check out our website or just open up your podcast app, your favorite one, and try and find it on there. We are not on Spotify.
Nope.
Nope.
But many others.
We don't have the money.
Right.
I don't know how that works.
So
that's the real truth.
Yes. We were talking a little bit before the break about toppers for your burger, and this is a fun part of a burger because, you know, you can put about anything on a burger that you want. I think we've all been to a variety of burger places and had the crazy stuff that people put on burgers, but, you know, for me, you really can't go wrong with a piece of bacon. You have to pre-cook the bacon. You can't put raw bacon on your burger. But
well, thanks for that tip, because
right.
I was wondering.
But I'm the guy that likes to put bacon on top of my burger, but I cut it so it's the width of the burger.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, you don't
yeah,
get
don't
an inch
see,
and a half hanging out.
I don't want to see that big cross, crisscross.
Nope,
that's all for what you were talking about earlier, the presentation. It's not practical.
Right.
You're making your guest pull the hamburger apart and fold it over and make it something
yeah.
they can
or
eat
try
without.
To pull it off and it pulls the whole thing off and
you
yeah.
know and just talking about these toppers, growing up we had a burger chain called Burger Chef.
Yep, I remember those. They
yeah.
had one of those in Shartucky.
You could you could get your hamburgers, and I think I would always get a double, and then you could go to the setup bar and you could put whatever you wanted on there.
Right.
And being a poor high school kid, you know,
you were eating a salad on every burger.
Yeah, I couldn't stack that stuff up high enough. Just made me think of that. So if you do a burger bar, make sure you do the Burger Chef stuff because
yeah.
us geezers like that.
Yeah, well, we already talked about an olive burger with Swiss cheese. That's great. You know, you can get creative and put anything on your burger that
well,
you want.
Well, like for steaks, you know, caramelizing onions is great on steaks. Why
right.
don't you do that for a burger?
You do. I mean, if
I
that's
don't.
What you like.
I don't. Yep.
Goes
and
good
I think
with the bacon.
I should.
Goes good
I
with
should,
the bacon.
Yes.
Yeah. The other thing is that this sounds a little weird, but I think if you've tried it, you'd like it, is a hard fried egg. Don't put one on
that's
with the
old
yolk.
School. Well, some people like, to be sunny.
Take a bite of it, and you want to talk about drizzling down your chin.
Yeah, but that's
going to blow.
I'm not even touching that.
Yeah, right.
I'm not even touching that.
It's one of those things where I like it
hard
cooked.
Keep your mic muted, Conrad. Right, just keep that smirk on your face.
Yeah, it's all right, boys. Come on. It's the fourth segment. We've been good all day. Don't ruin it now.
So yeah. You can also saute peppers.
Oh, yeah.
And sauteing fresh jalapenos,
mm-hmm.
They're fantastic. They tame down a little bit.
Yep.
But green peppers, a blend of green, red, and onion,
mm-hmm.
Fantastic for anything.
I'm not a big red onion fan on a burger. I prefer a sweet onion, but some people like the heat of a red onion.
Yeah, and they're supposed to be sweet, but they do have a pretty good pop to them.
Right, yep. And I don't know if it's if there's different varieties of red onions.
When you saute red onions, they tame.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yep. It's, again, a good presentation, a good look. Prosciutto is something I noticed trending these days. They're putting all these toppers on, and I'm noticing more and more prosciutto, and I love prosciutto. Never tried it on a burger,
mm-hmm.
But it's trending.
Yeah, like a garlic aioli is good.
Love it.
That's a good one to add great flavor profile to it, and, you know, that's a mayo derivative. If you will, but infused with a lot of garlic. That's something that I would buy rather than try to make, I think, for me personally, because you're not going to eat a ton of it. You're going to put a little bit of it on there because it's
goes a long way.
Yeah, it goes a long ways.
How about kimchi? You ever tried that on a burger?
I don't like
you're
rotten
not a kimchi
cabbage.
Guy.
I'm not a rotten cabbage
so
guy.
So good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. Then there's you know.
Sautéed mushrooms.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. One of my faves.
With sautéed onions? What do you think, Conrad? That's something you can you do that?
Man, I'm hungry.
Yeah. So the mushrooms, you and I, to me, sauteing mushrooms, you have to have whole butter. And then you and I have talked about.
And fresh mushrooms. Don't give me sauteed canned mushrooms.
No. And I like the brown ones rather than the white ones. Right?
Why?
I think they're a better flavor,
really?
Personally. Yep. Rather than the white buttons, they're the brown ones. They're. And
I always get the white ones.
Do you?
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't. I like the brown ones better. I think they're more flavorful. But anyway, and then putting that seasoning on lightly. I think you can over season a mushroom.
Easily.
They're spongy.
Yes.
And they suck up a ton of seasoning. And so just sprinkle a little bit of that seasoning, whatever it is, flavor profile you like.
And I guess we'd be remiss if we didn't mention what to put that on. And if you're doing like... Costco makes these square Kaisers,
mm-hmm.
And those are awesome for a burger because they hold together, but they're also a little bit tough, so you may be the type that likes to butter up a bun and throw it on the grill and crust it up a little bit.
Yep.
If you make a garlic butter for that, boy, I'm telling you, that is fantastic, and it's simple. You get the minced garlic, and you can literally get a tub of that I can't believe it's not butter or something like that, even and use that because it's already soft.
Right.
If you don't want to use real butter or don't have any.
Right.
Because I don't use mayo. I don't use margarine on anything, but butter in those buns, I'm going to tell you, it's a great way to do it.
It's easier, and you're looking for the texture and a little bit of flavor.
Yeah.
Not a lot, but anyway.
It gives it that Crisco effect.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. Here's what restaurants do. If your buns are starting to get a little on the aged side and they're not quite as fresh as yesterday or the day before, doing that, the water, and there's a problem with using margarine. There's a lot of water and it's hydrogenated. But even if it's just butter, you throw that on the grill and a second or two later, you've got a bakery fresh bun again.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Just don't let if you put too much butter on, it'll drip off and flare up.
I would use a griddle for that. You can use your grill, of course.
Right.
But, you know, most people don't have enough grill surface to do all the things we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And shame on you.
Yeah. Get a bigger grill.
Get another
one. That's a whole nother show.
Go buy another one.
Yeah. Right. She won't know.
Go down to Garrett's. Right. They got a bunch of them on closeout right now.
Yeah, they do.
It's a great time to go.
I was just in there and bought some other things, you know, toys. You got to go
in
there.
Well, they're just down the road from your house,
right.
So that's a little too convenient.
Right, yeah. So here's one we haven't talked about, Bob, but you are you're enjoy seasonings that are a little hotter than I do.
Yeah.
So what are you using for your seasoning on your before we put all these toppings on, but when you're cooking it?
Yeah, like a chef's blend or garlic, salt, and pepper.
Yep.
Real simple.
Yeah, I go back to Sobeys. There's a product he makes called Tim's Blend.
Yeah.
And that's some onion flake in it. It's got some red pepper in it, salt, pepper, garlic.
I don't
think
I've ever put that on a burger.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time. I got a big jug of it every day that I use. And because that goes on everything. Hmm. You know what I mean? And it's really just...
it's really Teresa that makes it.
Well,
Tim gets the credit.
Right, yeah. Teresa, well, there's a lot of things around there that happen that way, I'm thinking. Yeah.
Payroll would be one.
Yeah. No, what a great place. But no, so season your burger, not liberally. I'm again back to lightly. I don't want to taste all seasoning. I want to enhance it. It's like perfume.
Old World has a seasoning that I really like too, and it's an Italian blend of salt and pepper, and it's escaping me. I use it a bunch. I always have a jar of it around. But
is it that Seasonella?
It could be.
Little green jar.
Yeah.
I use that too. Yeah. Seasonella. That's more salt than anything, but I use that.
It's still a nice blend.
I use that in my coleslaw, and it really gives it a nice little flavor profile. And, you know, I buy the just shredded cabbage and with the carrots and the purple cabbage with it, and I just sprinkle quite a little bit of that on there before I put my dressing on.
Really?
Yeah. And you can taste it. I mean,
I've eliminated so much salt from my diet.
Yep.
That I probably am a lot less inclined to do anything like that anymore, just because my blood pressure was a little iffy a few years back, and the guy goes, you know, you're gonna have to work on you're okay, but you're getting towards the border, and I cut salt out and
it helped, huh?
Way down.
Yeah, cool. Well, that's good. We got to stay healthy.
You
so
don't
we
need
can
that.
Continue to grill,
right?
Yeah. But, well, you've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network and Jethro FM and our network everywhere we are around the great state of Michigan.
Yeah, and don't forget to go to thegrillingguys.com and check out our sponsors on the right-hand side. If you are not sleeping well, get yourself a MyPillow from MyPillow and using code BARBBQ.
Right.
But you've also got Alan Bob's. You've got... goodness sakes, all sorts of sponsors on there that just have
Schmoes.
Tremendous products.
Go get a beer at Schmoes.
Just went to Allen Bob's and bought a ton of ammo.
Yeah.
You know, just because I had a little extra cash and wanted some ammo.
There
so
go,
good
man.
Time to load up.
All right. Take care. Get out in your backyard. Fire up a grill. Create some grill envy in your neighborhood. And enjoy your weekend. We'll talk with you next week.
See ya.